Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Program is the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward, and I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways on tonight. Hallelujah. With the divine word of truth. And I hope and pray that all was well in your family circle on today, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I'm so delighted to be able to come into your workspace, come into your living room area, and then being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byways with the Old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. And I just thank all of you that so graciously tune in on tonight. And may God richly bless you, you and you. Hallelujah. And so right now we are going to give the numbers on the monitor. Those of you that have a prayer request, you can call in, and those numbers are 646-200-3074. The guest call-in number is 877-598-8654. And so you're welcome to call in with your prayer petition at the end of the program. If you have a hot testimony on your heart that you would like to share with us, we're eagerly awaiting on you. Hallelujah. You can call in during this time in which our service are in progression. So right now we're going to say a little prayer to those of you that has lost a loved one on last evening, today even. So we are going to take out this time right now and just pray for you, for God to heal you, for God to just touch you, touch your mind, your body, and your soul, and strengthen you, God. God will strengthen you in the areas, hallelujah, where you need it most. And so we're just praying for you and you and you that has lost a husband or wife or son or daughter, niece or nephew, grandparents, a colleague, and just a close friend. Hallelujah. And we just want God to just come in and just bring restoration unto your soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. All right, we're going to go right now on into our opening prayer. And I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference our Lord and Savior, the one, the only, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is our Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is our promised Messiah that's coming back, cracking those clouds one of these days. Hallelujah. We're going to take this a lot of time, and we're going to go into our opening prayer. So I'm asking those of you that will to bow your heads as we go down right now. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together in unity once again around the spectrum, God. For we know that this earthly planet is not our eternal home, God. But you know, we know that you have an eternal home lying in reserve, lying in wait for those of us that are living according to your will, according to your way, and according to your command, God. And until you crack those clouds one of these historical mornings, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking your gracious Heavenly Father to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. Asking you, Father God, to grace me, God, hallelujah, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep within the pitiment of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. And we will let the church say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I will be with you 30 minutes on the clock this evening. And so we're going to go right now because we know that time is of an essence and it's ticking right along. And so we are going back and we're going to pick up where we left off at in our last sermon. And our last sermon entitled was Top Dog. And so we're going to just read a little bit about the mindset of Solomon and what he says about these individuals, not saying that having money and having wealth, that's not what we're talking about, but we were talking about what you do in order to get it and what you do in order to keep it. You know, if it's, you know, if it's hurting other people for you to maintain, you know, that richness, then we want you to see the side that Solomon is talking about, because he himself was a rich man. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to take back up in where we left off at on our last program. And we're tonight's sermon, once again, we're talking about the top dog. So we find out that Solomon, hallelujah, had this to say in his wording. So we want to go right now and go and see what he talks about and what richness and about, you know, like I said, bringing hurt and harm to someone else in order to maintain that status quo. So Solomon said that it was better off than both of them to be dead. And then one has never had existed, hallelujah, than to be seen in evil activities. This is what Solomon said. He said that in everything that is done under the sun. Now, I imagine that, hallelujah, you've thought about that, you that are in that status right there. At times, those of you who are married, but you have any children, hallelujah, and you've gone through the experience of losing maybe your only child, and now you witness, hallelujah, the time in which we live on occasions, you might have thought about that it was better that you wouldn't have any children than for them to come into a society, hallelujah, in which we live. Hallelujah. It would maybe been better off, you know, than to bring them into a society as insane as ours is in today's world. And I know that in Solomon's time, I would wonder, had it ever occurred, that suicide probably never came to his mindset. But it's then considered such a heinous sin. But we know that that is certainly not true in today's society. Hallelujah. And we also know, thank you, Jesus, that Solomon says those who have never been born are better off than those who have had to live through it and are now living, as well as those who have gone on ahead. He then continues his appraisal of the world around him, turning from oppressive conditions to a second observation. Hallelujah. I have seen that every labor and every skill which is done is the result of rivalry between a man and his neighbor. Hallelujah. He said that this too is vanity, striving after wind. And that scripture reading is found in the law, hallelujah, Ecclesiastes 4 and 4. Hallelujah. And we know that that is exactly an interesting observation, that this honest man says that as I look at the acts of businesses, buying and selling, as I have watched people accomplishing their goals, then as I look at the stream of success as it runs its course from the bottom of the ladder to the top, I've observed a severe rivalry, a competitive determination. It has become a dog-eat-dog mentality. Hallelujah. He's talking about one-on-one rivalry, fighting and devouring and plowing and pushing at one another. He's describing the outworking of carnal selfishness. This is what's going on in our today's world, in our society. People don't care how they get to the top, if they climb on top of your head to get to the top, so as long as they get to the top. And they fight against one another. Hallelujah. And if necessary, assault each other as well. They have a mindset to outdo, to outsell, and outshine other people. Hallelujah. You might be caught up in that. You might see yourself described in this scriptural scene. Verse 4 may be painting of your portrait, even though your name isn't stated. Hallelujah. You're not the type that can easily take second place. You're not comfortable until you have reached and have gained that top status position. You're making your move. You're determined, hallelujah. You're determined to reach that status quo. And I would say, what a pathetic sight. He had served a cruel taskmaster. Success at any price. Now he was like a leopard cornered in a cage. Hallelujah. Now some would say, hallelujah, because of his indifference and complacence, that he would rather live off the land. That means that in order to live off another, live off other people who are working, then you would allow them to pay your way through. This is what Solomon is talking about in verse 5. And that's not the answer. He calls that person a fool. He said that the fool who has folded his hands and consumed his own flesh, that's found in the law of Ecclesiastes 4:5. Now, he says that dropping out of responsible living isn't the solution. He says that a balance is what Solomon is pushing for. So you can see the balance that he's talking about in verse 6. He says that one handful of rest, that's beautiful in the Hebrews, it says, quietness. Then one handful of quietness is better than two fifths of labor. Hallelujah, Jesus. And he said that one hand full of contentment and responsible living, as opposed to two fists clawing, striving and pushing and pounding their way to the top, is better than that. Hallelujah. He said it's better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and turmoil within. He said you're better off with a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox and you are bared with it. He said that you are better off with a little bowl of vegetable soup served at a table where there is a lot of love than a big thick pine rib thrown at you by somebody who can't stand you. Hallelujah. You're talking. I mean, that's big talk, you know. And that is exactly what we're talking about tonight. Our top dog. Somebody that don't care about you. Don't care about your tears and what you're going through. They could care less. Then Solomon goes on to bring in a third scene. And he says that in the chapter 4, he says that in verse, we're going down to verse 7. He says, I look again at vanity. He saw a personification of vanity in this under the sun. He said that observation, he saw emptiness in three pieces. He saw the brokenness and disillusionment across the face of the career woman. He saw professional people with the tied blood look, even though they possessed a pile of dough. In this scene, he saw a certain man in verse 8. He said that in the first view, Solomon had this old vision that there are many people who are oppressed. There are many people that are rich and at the top that who are oppressed. Hallelujah. And then many are doing the oppressing. So many are causing others to be oppressed. He said in the second scene, there are two people, one against another in a scene of competitive rivalry. And then this third scene, there is one, a certain man. He says that as you climb higher on this ladder of so-called success, you get intensively lonely. You have fewer friends, fewer personal contact. While in the process of acquiring more stuff, you become a lonely man or a lonely woman. You become a lonely executive, male or female. Hallelujah. But Solomon goes on to say that it's better off if you not to have exist than to have claimed the carpet ladder to impart hardness and trials and tribulations on others, stipulating the hardship of others. Now, he talks about the loneliness at being at the top. Hallelujah. He says that the top dog is again whining. He's crying for satisfaction. He's crying for companionship. Because it's not there as he get near the top. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then he also says that there was a certain man. He didn't have any dependents. And these are the one that is all alone, having neither a son nor a brother. He talks about that in verse 8. And now you would think that this man would say, since I don't have a lot of people to worry about, I'm going to enjoy myself. I've got this great position, and I'm making more money than ever. Hallelujah. So I'm going to lie. Hallelujah. Back and take that handful of quietness along with that full fist of work, and I'm going to balance the two. Hallelujah. I'm going to say enough is enough. Does he say that? Not according to Solomon's observation. Even though he has no dependents, even though he has neither a son or a brother, yet there was no end to all of his labor. He doesn't know how to quit. He can't slow down. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with the riches he had obtained. Hallelujah. And for whom I labor and depriving myself of pleasure. That's in verse 8. And we find out that's something, isn't it? Hallelujah. That people is in such a drive to work and just more money, and they can't even spend the money that they have for wanting more and more and more. And there is no stopping, hallelujah, to those that just work and work and work with no end, no satisfaction. What is the outcome, you might ask? Why am I knocking myself out and enjoying so few pleasure? Solomon exclaimed. This too is vanity, and it is a grieving task. Verse 8. Hallelujah. And we will leave it right here, because time has closed in on us again on tonight. And so, before ending, hallelujah, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old Shepherd Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will now bring our program to its conclusion with these selections. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Please enjoy. Thank you. My way.